Today, so I don't keep you past 1:30 or so, I better get at this. The one nobody wanted. We're going to stand real quick and honor our Lord as we read Genesis chapter 29. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is complete, and I want to make love to her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob. And Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave a servant Zilpha to his daughter as her attendant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you've done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban replied, "It's not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we'll give the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and he loved Rachel was greater than his love for Leah, and he worked for Laban another 7 years. Father, help us today as we study your word to learn that the one nobody wanted is the one you do want. Father, help us to relax and to rejoice that we're among those that nobody wanted. And we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible is neither romantic nor sentimental when it comes to the subject of marriage and family. The Bible lays out the facts very plainly. It's very true that being unmarried, especially if you've never been married and you're single, that can be a very difficult way of life. But it's just as true that many marriages are more difficult than being single. It's a hard way to go, but among non-Christians, there's a great deal of cynicism when it comes to marriage. I don't know if you know it or not, but our generation coming up, fewer and fewer are actually going through the ceremony of marriage. They're just living together. We're going to make it for life, and if it doesn't work, we'll just start over. And the reason for that is they've seen so many marriages wind up terribly situated because of the selfishness of one or both partners. Marriage doesn't work on its own, and the Lord wants us to know that we need more than singleness or marriage, because singleness has its part. The Lord says in his word, it's more blessed not to marry than to marry. And we say, huh? How could that be? But the Lord says not being married gives you freedom to serve the Lord with all your heart. Because when you are married, what are you concerned about? What's my wife want? What's my husband want? Yes, Lord, you too. We can get sidetracked pretty easy. So the Lord wants us to know that marriage has its place and singleness has its place. But Jacob was born into a family that created many, many problems for him and his family. His parents, Jacob's parents, Isaac and Rebekah, were happily married, let's say. Not perfectly married, but happily married. How many perfect marriages are there, by the way? Hope you know there's none. I hope you understand that. There's some really good marriages, and I've seen many. But Isaac and Rebekah, we talk about them and we say, boy, what a wonderful situation. But the truth of the matter is, when Isaac was a young man, he took Rebekah as his wife. They were married 20 years before Rebekah ever had a child. And to us today, oftentimes we'll say, well, they're married. They've been married 15, 20 years. They never had kids. But boy, you ought to see the toys they got. They got the biggest house. They got the snowmobiles, they got the motorbikes, they got everything. They sure are blessed. But back in Rebecca's time, things were a little different. If a woman didn't have a child and was married, it was thought she was cursed of God. In Genesis 25, verse 20, it says, "And Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Arminian, from Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Arminian." So 40 years old, Rebekah's probably a little younger, probably 30, 35. 20 years go by. How old is Rebekah now? She's not 25 or 30 anymore. She's 45 or 50. Never had a child. In Proverbs 30, verse 15, it says, "The leech has two daughters. Give, give," they cry. "There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough. The grave and the barren womb," and that's the one we're going to talk about today a little bit. "Land which is never satisfied with water, and fire which never says enough." So the barren womb, a woman that wants to have a child and can't. And we've all known people like that. They've been married 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20. We're not having children. The Lord has a reason for that. Rebecca's day, she was looked down upon because she did not have children. In Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from Him." And when a woman in that time would not have children soon after marriage, she would wonder, "Why, Lord, what have I done? Because obviously it's my fault." But it wasn't. It was part of God's plan. In Genesis 25, verse 20, it says, "Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Arminian, from Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Arminian. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, 'Why is this happening to me?' So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger.' When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first came out, was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them." We'd like to say, "Okay, now I've had twins born. Everything's going to be perfect." We all know the end of the story, don't we? It wasn't perfect. When Isaac married Rebekah, he thought everything's going to be perfect. It wasn't perfect. When Jacob finally got Rachel, he thought everything's going to be perfect. It was not perfect. Folks, there is nothing perfect in this present world we live in. And we can get our eyes so much on that next thing. Boy, when I just get that, everything's going to be perfect. Do you know what that becomes in your life? It becomes an idol in your heart. We have to understand, nothing in this world is meant to please us permanently. Everything in this world, including yourself, me, everybody, we are imperfect. We are temporary. We have to understand that, because there's only one that's perfect, and there's only one that's eternal. And we have to find our joy in the Lord. After those boys were born, the Lord said, "The older is going to serve the younger, and the younger is going to rule over the older." Isaac and his wife should have understood that, but they didn't. And they favored one over the other. When Esau and Jacob were born, Isaac favored one over the other, and his mother favored the other one. What happens in a family when there's favoritism of one child over another, and it's very obvious that he's favored? You're going to have a dysfunctional family. And this family, although walking with the Lord, became a dysfunctional family. And it passed to their son, Jacob. Jacob also became dysfunctional. It's very difficult to live with this, but when Jacob fell in love with Rachel. She had an older brother, Laban. Apparently the dad's dead by this time, and maybe the mother too. But Laban is kind of the caregiver. And Laban's got a problem. He's got actually two problems. Number one, he wants to be rich, and he's not rich. And when Jacob comes to be with him, because Esau is trying to kill Jacob now, Laban sees that Jacob is very skilled in taking care of sheep. And Laban says, if I can get this guy to stay with me and he'll take care of my sheep, I'm going to get rich. The second problem Laban had was his sister Leah had weak eyes. Now, exactly what that means, we don't know. We don't know if they were cross-eyed or an eye disease, but something was wrong with her eyes, and she wasn't a beauty. And she was a sister that he was never going to be able to get rid of. Nobody's ever going to want Leah. And so she's the one nobody wanted. He's got a problem, but he says, how can I get rid of Leah? And once he understands that Jacob loves Rachel, he's got a solution to both. Laban is a schemer. Jacob is also a schemer, but Laban's got more experience than Jacob. When you are a schemer, when you're trying to figure life out and you're going to take advantage of everybody, you never let somebody know where your weak point is. Laban said, what can I give you in order to have you stay here and work for me? He said, I'll work for you 7 years if you give me Rachel as my wife. His hand is right out in the open. Laban says, I'll be glad to do it. But unfortunately, he didn't do it. In Genesis 29, verse 25, when morning came, there was Leah. Rachel's brother, Laban, had said, 7 years, I'll give you Rachel. But at the end of the 7 years, instead of giving Rachel, he gives Leah. Jacob said to Laban, what is this you've done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? Folks, the answer is the same answer that we get all the time. It's not a direct answer to the question. It's kind of a cloud, and we see that in our politics all the time in our nation. They ask a question, but instead of answering the question, they cloud it with everything else. In Genesis 29, verse 26, Laban answered, it's not our custom here. You don't give the younger before the older. Folks, customs, all of us have got them. They affect life. Finish this daughter's bridal week. Then we'll give you the younger also in return for another 7 years of work. Leah was not loved by the man she married. Leah thought, if I can get my husband to love me, life's going to be perfect. Folks, I want you to just think for just a few minutes about the names that she gave to her children, because this is very important. It says in Genesis 29:32, Leah became pregnant. Remember, Rachel's not having any children. Her sister is having children. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben. For she said, it's because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now. What does Leah want more than anything in the world? She wants her husband to love her. What should have been the most important thing to Leah? I want the Lord to love me, and I want to be close to the Lord. Folks, we get our eyes off the prize. The prize is not the prettiest girl in your class. The prize is not the handsomest guy, the most robust athlete in the class. The prize has to be the Lord. Anything other than that, you're going to get your heart broken. She named him Reuben, and that means I'm seen. My husband's finally going to see me for the beauty that's in me. He didn't. The second son she bears, she names him Simeon, and Simeon means I'm heard. My husband's finally going to hear me. He's finally going to love me. He didn't. She named the third son Levi. Levi means I'm attached. In other words, my husband's going to be attached to me. I've given him three sons. But it didn't work. The fourth one comes. And in Genesis 29, verse 35, it says she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time, I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. Folks, we've got to get our eyes off the praise of this world. We all like it when our husband or wife says, I love you and I'm dearly attached, and mom and dad says, oh, I'm so proud of you. That's wonderful. But without the praise of the Lord, it's all going to be absolutely meaningless. We've got to get our eyes on the Lord. So I want to tell you just a few lessons we can learn from a fairy tale marriage. Rebecca was miserable. She thought it was going to be wonderful. Leah was miserable. She thought it was going to be wonderful. Jacob was miserable. He thought, man, four wives, who wouldn't be happy? Well, he wasn't happy, I can tell you that. So I want to give you a little bad news. You don't do sin. Sin does you. Folks, it's so important for us to understand that, because when we choose to sin, we get the natural results of our sin. When you put anything before the Lord, that thing is an idol. That thing can become sin in your life. And we have to be careful here. The Bible says when you sin, you release a devastating effect. I've got a 2.5-acre pond behind my house. And if I go out in the middle of that pond in a boat and I sit real still and the water's real flat, if I took a boulder out of that boat and dropped it into the pond, what's going to happen? There's going to be waves go all the way to the shore, every direction, and then those waves are coming back to the center. Folks, that's what sin does in your life. It affects every area of your life, and we think we're getting away with it. It's just a choice. No, it's not just a choice. It's going to set up a refraction in your life that's going to keep being there. In Galatians 6, verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. An example here is the Isaac favoring Esau. He favored Esau, and his wife Rebecca favored Jacob. It started a problem that went down their family line. Do you know the Lord says he passes the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation? You think, oh, if I look at the Playboy magazine, it's no big deal. It won't just me. No, your sons and your daughters. I had a little neighbor girl who used to live next to me when I lived in Saginaw. This was back 70 years ago plus. I was only 4, 5, 6 years old. Her grandpa was a pornography nut. And she was showing me, a little 5-year-old girl, showing me these books. It's going to revibrate down through the generations. We need to learn to be careful. No marriage, no travel, no learning is more important than knowing the Lord is your Savior. Those things are nice. There's nothing wrong with travel. You can take the best trip you ever took, the beautiful scenery, all that's there. But in the end, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, what's it going to matter? 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, none of that's going to matter. You can have the fastest car, the prettiest girlfriend, the most handsome boyfriend, but 1,000 years from today, is it worth the price maybe you're going to pay when they don't know the Lord and they take your heart away? Jacob thought, if I can just have this beautiful woman, my life's going to be complete. It wasn't. Leah thought, if I can just have some sons here, my husband's really going to love me. It didn't work. Folks, you can have the best laid plans of mice and men, but you can be sure of this, they're going to go awry. They're never going to please you the way you want. Only with the Lord can you get that. Our God is still working with weak people. This is the good news now. God took Leah, a woman who nobody wanted, and made her the great-great-grandmother of our Lord Jesus Christ. When she had Judah, Judah was the one, the trail went right down the line all the way to Jesus Christ. It's so important for us to start with God, because if we start with ourselves, it's all about me, it's all about what I want. But when we start with God as the creator of all, why did he make you? Because you're unlike anybody else he's ever made. Why did he make you the particular person you are? It's because God wants to receive glory from your life. You are not born at this time in history by mistake. God had you planned out before this world ever began. And He wants to use you. He wants you to love Him more than you love anything, because He loves you more than anything. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Our God is still working through weak people. Maybe you don't have weak eyes, but I'll guarantee you, you're weak someplace in your life. And God can use your weakness for His glory. He marvels in that. We think God's going to call the rich, the famous, the popular, and God says, no, I do exactly the opposite. The world can chase all of those. I'm looking for those who are weak and know they're weak. I'm looking for those who will put me first in their lives and honor me with their lives. We talk about Jacob, and he was a supplanter. But through Laban's superior supplanting, Jacob learned humility. Jacob learned how to walk with God. He thought it was going to come through Rachel, but it didn't. It came through her brother. The Lord uses the difficult things of life to change our hearts. Laban, if you've got a Laban in your life, you need to praise the Lord for it, because Laban's going to help you. It may not seem like it. It may seem ever so hurtful. But if you'll allow the Lord to lead your life, Laban will wind up blessing your life. In Hebrews 12:11, it says, "No discipline," and this is part of the discipline, "seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace, but only for this particular group of people, for those who've been trained by it." Have you ever seen a foolish person? They do something, oh, that hurt. And they do it again, and they do it again, and they never learn. Folks, God wants us to learn from the lessons of life. He doesn't want us to go on in our foolishness. He wants us to realize there is nothing on this earth that's ever going to please me perfectly. There's only one relationship that's going to last for all eternity. I'm going to choose the better part. I'm going to choose to walk with God. Now, marriage, don't get me wrong. I'm happily married. I've been married 54 years. It's wonderful. But it's not everything. There are times when we disappoint each other. One of our favorite sayings between I and Mimi is, "Do you still love me in spite of myself?" Because we hurt each other. You're never going to have any relationships where you're not going to get hurt on this earth. So, after the birth of the fourth child, Leah thought it was going to be everything perfect. But when she realized after the fourth child, "My husband is never going to love me the way I want. This thing, this person, this relationship is never going to give me my heart's desire." In Genesis 29:31, "When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, He enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless." Our Lord delights in blessing those that the world undercuts. Once you understand that, you don't have to get bitter. You don't have to get even. You just have to learn the lesson. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Folks, we've got so much to be thankful for. Our Lord takes all the disappointments of our life, and He tells us this life The things of this life, the people of this life, are never going to fulfill you like He will. So when you feel like you're just at the end of yourself, we have to realize that a ruined life is not ruined. The Lord can redeem it. And the Lord has redeemed many of our lives. We weren't famous. Anybody here a billionaire? I want to tell you, none of us were rich when we got saved, as far as I know. None of us were famous. None of us were in a household name all across America. But God reached down and He touched our hearts and He revealed Himself to us, not because of what we have done, but because of His great love for us. Folks, you have to come to this point in your life where you realize this life is not just about me. It's not just about my wife, my husband, my children, my family. It's about Him. Because if you don't, you're never going to have joy in this life like He wants to give you. He gives us joy that passes all understanding. And it's available to every single person who will by faith receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and then walk in obedience to His will. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you've been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Maybe you don't feel like you've been brought to fullness yet. Get back in the Word of God. You'll find out the Father in heaven loves you exactly the same way He loves His only begotten Son. Folks, maybe nobody else cares about you, but the Lord does. He loves you enough to die for you. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then He went on to say, "I've called you my friends." He's talking to His disciples. Jesus Christ loves you. Heaven is your home now. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you've received Him as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is now within you, and He's promised to guide you all the days of your life, and even when you don't know what to pray for. Leah thought, if I just have another son, it's going to be the answer. No. It's when she turned her heart to the Lord and said, "Now, I'm going to praise the Lord. Would I like to have my husband love me? Sure would. But if he doesn't, guess what? The Lord does." Folks, it's so important for us to get to this point in our lives. The great God of heaven loves you. And if you've received Him as your Savior, He chose you before the foundation of the world. He'll keep your heart. He'll fill your heart. He'll become your joy. And He never changes. The wife I'm married to now is not the woman I married when she was 20. She's changed. I'm not the husband she married when she was 20. I've changed. Everything on this earth is constantly changing. We have one source, one person who never changes. Once you get that relationship right, then all the other relationships fall in their proper place. And you're not seeking the praise of a man or a woman or anybody else now. You are now seeking the praise of God. And life has meaning. My life's not over. I've got maybe another 20 on this earth, but guess what? Then life on this earth is over, and then what happens? The best part. Folks, I hope you know you're going to heaven. The Bible was written so that you can know. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto those of you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." If you have never received Christ, if you'd like to talk about it, I'd be glad. It takes, in all reality, less than 5 minutes. I can show you from the Word of God how you can be born into God's family, have the greatest joy that anybody has, that lasts forever. Father, we're so grateful for Your Word. We're grateful, Lord, for the power You give us to put first things first. Our relationship with You should be the paramount choice of our lives. More important than anything else, longer lasting than anything else, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we have eternal life. Now we can live for Your glory spend our days here as passing out tracts, telling people the gospel, giving the good news, because others too need to be born again. Father, help us to put first things first, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.